I learned something new. And it's just waiting on technology. Hallelujah. We're just going to praise God. We're live and we thank you, Jesus. Brothers and sisters in Christ that are looking at us and watching us live on Facebook, I apologize for being late. But I am so grateful just to be on this podcast with you today. Hallelujah. We lift up God. We lift up the Holy Spirit. We lift up Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Father, I thank you. This is Elder Anton Seals of AJS Ministry in the absence of my lovely wife, Elder Jennifer Seals, that is out is doing work of God. So we just lift her up, God, for traveling mercy. And Lord, we thank you for Pastor John Chisholm and co-pastor Gay Chisholm, God. We thank you for Evangelist Kruger. We thank you, God, for Lauren Johnson, my cousin, and all the others that have been so supportive. Mother Parham, oh God, that always so supportive of this ministry and all the other guests that we've had. Lord, we thank you and ask you to bless them, bless the teaching of your word. Move me out of the way that you will be glorified and exalted. Because Lord, I am excited about what you're doing in my life. I'm excited about just having new opportunities to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. And so we thank you and bless you. I was going to ask you to pray, Pastor Chisholm, but I got caught in the opening. So I just went on, but please close us. Have some closing comments for me tonight, and however the Holy Ghost use us. Amen. So let us go forth. I see Sister Kruger down there on the phone. You live on Facebook, Sister Kruger. Hallelujah. So put your on mute. You talking? God bless you. We thank you for being on. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Tonight, brothers and sisters, we are blessed by the people of God that are following us, that are supporting us. And I'm enjoying this opportunity to share with you the word of God tonight, the word of God that's coming out of several different texts. And if you got your Bibles, you're going to need them tonight. You're going to need them. I'm telling you, you're going to need them Bibles because this is rich. This is part two of this teaching I did this past Tuesday. And the title of this today, September 1st, Thursday, September 1st, 2022. We're entering into a new year. I want to wish my grandson, Jameer Seals, happy birthday. God bless him. God bless you and your football team that you play with and the school and your mom and dad and brother. We're going to Scripture 126 to open us up tonight. Scripture 126, Psalms 126. It's a powerful word that we're going to be teaching from in Psalm. I want to read Psalms 126. Amen. We're going to read this and also go to other scripture texts, but I want you to just work with me and just go through together in this teaching. I am trying to slow myself down in the teaching, but I still get caught up in the word of God, and I get excited. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, this word tonight and the title of this message, again, God turned the captivity of Zion, Could you God turn the captivity of Zion, and he also turned the captivity of your mind. The captivity of Zion and the captivity of your mind. So he not only turns captivity of Zion. I'm going to explain why I said our minds and your minds. I want to teach that because I think we forget that we're spiritual beings. And I want to show you that we already have the victory, that he says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, that he made us, wonderfully made us, amen. And so we have the victory. If you read the Bible and all that's going on in Revelation, that's already written, the Alpha and the Omega, we have the victory. So I'm talking to those who may need an encouragement. I'm talking to those that may not know the word and lost and need Jesus and hear all this. I want to break this down that you are both a spirit man and a physical man. You're physical in this sense, and it's called a tent. This is your tent. This is your meeting place, a tabernacle. And so go to Psalms 126, and we're going to talk about turning the captivity and what Zion really represents. What does Zion represent? What is captivity? So we're going to break some of this down tonight. And teach and preach and just let God have to give exhortations where there's necessary to explain more, exegete the word. But I just want you to hear that we are safe in the arms of God. I was going to play this song, but I don't have time. I'm going to go into the teaching. We're in Psalms 126. When the Lord turned the captivity of Zion, when he turned the captivity of Zion, it says, when he turned the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. And I want you to remember now that the Bible teaches us about dreams and visions. Amen. But he's telling us that we will dream. And then was our mouth filled with laughter. What is the Holy Ghost telling us about filled with laughter and our tongue with singing? That's why I was going to play that song, Safe in His Arms with Jesus. Hallelujah. And the Lord says, the Lord have done great things. Has the Lord done great things for you? Hallelujah. Let us keep our minds stayed on Jesus. Let us keep it with all that's going on in the world. If you sit and watching this television, let me tell you, there's so much demonic information. There's so much evil that's covering this world. I wish you could see my screen. I have a picture of just the outer space and the earth and the atmosphere and how beautiful it is. And then you compare that with the chaos that's going on in the world. God is reminding us in this scripture written by David all those many years ago that I've turned your situation around in spite of what it looks like, even in the midst of the darkness and your sickness and your pain and the grieving that you go through, turn your situation around. I allowed you to go through this so I can bring you to this place with me. We are like them that dreamed. We dreamed when we were in sadness. You were asking God, oh Lord, please, your mind, dreams reflect what's going on in your spirit. Visions that God gives you, the visions that you can get for both evil and good, because this natural mind is of evil. The natural mind is an enmity to God. And so he says, my mouth was filled with laughter. When you get to the place where you've had the joy of the Lord, you can laugh. And so, and if you understand, part of this turning the captivity of your mind means that your mind has been focused on the things of the world and not enough on the things that God has promised you, the things that God has given you, the anointing and the power and the authority to do his bidding, to do his will. He even calls you to be stewards of his kingdom. He even tells you that you're the candle of the Lord, that he will give you the desires of your heart. He wants us to line up our will with his will and his way, because of what? He is the way, the truth, and the what? The light and the life. He's light, life. He's all of that, because he is the sovereign God. And this scripture is talking about a story. And I want to finish the scriptures first, and then we're going to go to 1 Samuel 1:26, because I'm referencing how humility can help you be able to manage all the struggles in your life. When you let go and let God fight your battle, when you know that God can send you out for the battle, and go before you in the battle, equip you for the battles. Some of the things that you're going through is not just by mistake. God can get the glory, because all things what? All things work together for the good for those that what? Love the Lord and call according to. So we know his purpose is to get us to a place that we can operate in his glory, that we can operate under the grace and bring him more glory. Amen. And so the scripture says, the Lord have done great things for me. Verse 3, the Lord have done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again the captivity. Turn again our captivity, Lord. Oh, Lord, as the streams in the south, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. I want to stop right there and let you know that you may be going through some things, and you may be going through some trials and some tribulations. You may be going through a challenge with mental depression. You may be overtaxed and stressed out because of your children and grandchildren, and the world is just going crazy, where truth is treated as if it doesn't exist. The righteousness of God has faded away in some people's minds, where they'll buy into lies and deception and hatred, and bigotry, and that's not of God, and we have to keep rebuking that. And that's why some days I cannot watch television at all. I haven't seen much of the news today because I just can't do that and keep my mind on Jesus, except, Lord, save our world. Every time you turn it on. But he's saying to us, if you're sowing in tears, you shall reap if you faint not. Hallelujah. So just hold on. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. And I think, Pastor, if you do me a favor, look up, I think it's Isaiah 61, where he says that he turns your ashes into beauty. All that you've gone through, he gives you a garment for your pain and your suffering. He gives you a new garment. The new garment is the quickening of the Holy Spirit, where he enlightens your natural mind and your spiritual being to be able to carry on. You ever have a heavy load to carry? You ever carry some a weight on your back? Or you carrying, as an example, a heavy laundry bag? And that laundry bag could be filled with your pressures, the pressures of the world. But God says, reap not. He says, faint not, because you're going to reap a great harvest. And he that goeth forth and weepeth, this is verse 6, Psalms 126, and the people just coming in, Psalms 126 and 6, he says, he goeth that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing a precious seed, shall doubtless come again, rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, hallelujah, bringing in with him the sheaves. You are counted as down, but hallelujah, Sister Kruger, now you're lifted up in the name of Jesus, and you got a smile on your face. I don't know your age. I ain't going to tell anybody, but you ain't looking like what you've been through. And so God says, you're bringing home some sheaves, Pastor. Co-pastor, you've been through so much, but you're bringing home the blessings of the Lord. Let me slow down. I told you. I'm trying to slow down. They're cracking in my voice, so forgive me, but it's I'm all right. It's just it's part of what I go through in the healing process. Psalm says that he goeth forth bearing precious seed. You got precious seed. You're an anointed vessel of God. You are the children of the Most High God. Amen. And so for that, know that God is turning the captivity of your mind. What does that mean? So we're going to go through one more scripture, two more scriptures. And the next one is Psalms 123 and 2. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. See, we have to understand what waiting on the Lord means. You don't know, if you don't know the Lord, you don't know what to expect. You don't know the word if you don't have a relationship with God, or you just go to church. And this is for people that only go to church and never open that Bible. It is not enough. And God is saying, wait on the Lord. He wants you to spend time with him. Wait on the Lord and be in his presence. Abode with him. That's what prayer is. Prayer releases and increases your strength and your faith in God. It opens the windows of heaven that God hears you talking. He's waiting. He's knocking at your door. When I was first studying this lesson the night before on Tuesday morning, I had a vision, and it was God said, I've given you the keys, and I have shown you how to do the work. Now I want you to go and say to the people, I stand at the door. I am knocking. Allow God to come into your heart, because he's giving you the keys to the kingdom. He's giving you the keys. He's giving you the answers. He's giving you a solid rock. Everything else is sinking sand. And so when you wait on the Lord and be of good courage, he shall renew your strength. You will get strength waiting and talking. When you're waiting, you're not just sitting idle. You can be moving around, but your mind is stayed on Jesus. Let this mind that is in Christ also be in you, so that the character of Jesus, the humanity of what he expressed and taught us in his human form, was not formed in his human form. It was formed in the spiritual realm, because he is spirit. But he put himself in the flesh that he made you and I to be an example of how to walk. That's why it's so important to have the spirit of love upon you, because everything else is like tempering sound and brass. It's just noise. If you don't have, I think it says, Pastor Chen and co-pastor, and those of you that are listening live with us, that there's a lot going on in the world. But God says that I want you to celebrate in life, because I'm bringing you a place where you can lift up the name of Jesus and wait on the Lord and be of good courage. I'll renew your strength, meaning you got to spend some time with me so I can give you wings. He said, I'll mount up wings as eagles. They shall mount up wings as eagles. They shall run. And who is he talking? He's talking about you. He hides you under the tabernacle. He hides you in the tabernacle. He hides us under the shadow of his wings. In the time of trouble, he hides you. And so when you know who he is and you're waiting on the Lord, he's hiding you. He's preparing you. He's covering you. He's protecting you. He's feeding you this word. The word is the bread of life. Eat of this word and you will hunger. No thirst on this word is the drink of this word. It's the spirit of God, and hallelujah. And I come to tell you that and be ye not weary, and they shall walk and not faint. In other words, don't give up. Don't let go. It doesn't say that life is going to be easy, but because if you know the end, brothers and sisters, if you know that you have the victory, if you know that you serve a sovereign God that cannot be defeated, that cannot lie, that his word will accomplish what he set it to do. And when he sent it, if it says rain, it's going to rain. If it says snow, it's going to storm. If it's an earthquake, it's an earthquake. All that's happening in the universe, God is in control. Hallelujah. He knows the sin of man. And so I was reading Revelation 16, 17, and 18, and more. As you read it, he even go back to Revelation 2, where he gives John the visions in heavens and tells him what to write. And the messages for the church today is the same messages that he gave to the seven churches. And he saw a figure, a spirit walking in the candle. He saw Jesus walking in the midst of the candles. He represents the church and the church. And so the candle, the light, each of these churches represents pastors who are in charge of church, of spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ and teaching his word and equipping the saints and understanding the different gifts of the people that are in their church and how to get them to work together. For he said that they shall mount up wings as eagles. In other words, I'll move you through some stuff and nobody can figure out how you came through it. Nobody knows what you've been through. They only see what they see on the outside. Nobody knows the real story of all that you've been through. As a pastor, I've known Pastor Chisholm. We go back to 1974, 75. Now, that's a long time, but I don't know all that he's been through. I have worked and studied under Sister Kruger, Evangelist Kruger, and her late husband, and I have learned from them, but I don't know all. And she's given me testimony to know that she knows God. She knows God. And one of the things about that, he said, forsake not the assembly, meaning be in the presence of people of God who have real heart. I ain't talking about just folks that go to church looking all good. I'm talking about know what their spirit. Hallelujah. Know their heart. And I don't know why the Holy Ghost taking me that way, but this is part two. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage. One more scripture. Psalms 27. Understand that because God has turned the captivity of your mind, that means that even though you're going through something, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Hallelujah. Because when my mind is, and listen to me, please. He said, as you walk through the valley of shadow of death, fear no evil. When the only way you can get to that kind of maturity of walking through some tough situations, and not, it doesn't mean that you don't have some anxiety, some fear, some uncertainty, but when your mind is made up and you know that God says, fear me only, because anybody else, they can't put your soul in hell. They can't nobody else
and make a promise to you of salvation and bring, I see you, and bring you home to heaven. We're on a journey. And so the journey is already ended. You're already in heaven. You just don't know without believing that, because God says that you say you saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost, and you're going through all kind of stuff. Know that you're already in heaven. Know that you already got a door, that place that he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if it wasn't so, I wouldn't tell you. And so he's telling you, I got a place. It's all worked out already. All you got to do is follow Jesus. Get in this word and listen to your pastors that are teaching, and don't stop there. Go home and study this word, for in the time of trouble, he shall hide me. Psalm 27, 5 and 6. In the time of trouble, he'll hide me. Why is he hiding me? Because when I'm in captivity of my mind, he knows how much I can bear. He says, so I'm going to hide you in my pavilion, in my tabernacle, in my secret place, he says, in the secret of his tabernacle. And let people know, there is no secret about who God is. There is no secret of who Jesus is. He is Almighty God. He is a sovereign God. He is God the Messiah. He is Jesus. He is the Holy Spirit. He's the triune God. For in the time of trouble. We know when you get in trouble, sometimes you want to put up your dukes. Hey, this sometimes you need to back away and say, God, cover me. Cover me, Lord. There's some sickness or illness that all you need to do is call on Jesus. Because that balm of Gilead is a healing. It's the balm. It's a healing ointment. But it represents the presence of God. It represents the Holy Spirit. It represents the Spirit of God that's a healing, that heals and delivers and sets you free. It's the Spirit of God that can comfort your mind when you feel overwhelmed, when you're grieving. Brothers and sisters that are grieving right now, that is part of life. That's part of our journey, that we weep, that we cry, we suffer. We cry out to God, Lord, help us. Lord, how much more can I bear? And Lord, I need you. And this is when you don't realize he's already saying, enter into my secret place, enter into my royalty, enter into my glory. Come up under my cover and sit here and listen and let go of everything else and bring your prayers to me. Bring your thoughts to me. Give me everything that's bothering you. Tell me about it. I'm your Father. Talk to me. Tell me what you feel. Tell me. That's what God is asking of you. He said, Pastor, tell him, talk to me. Talk to God. Talk to God about, Lord, help my pastor. Lord, help my friends. Lord, cover my family. I know you, Lord, but I can't save them. But I pray that something that I'm doing, Lord, will help them see the glory of God. We got some stiff-necked children. Yeah, we do. But we were stiff-necked. we was in a place where we weren't always so goody. We weren't always pleasant. And to be truthful with you, even while we're searching to grow the more in God, we still have trouble with our humanity. We still suffer with ego problems and pride problems. We're humans, but we know who our Father is. And so when you begin to know, you know, when you were a child, to people that are listening, years ago, your mother could stand, or your father, or whoever was calling you, you could hear them a block away. It's just something was going on. If you were supposed to be at home when them lights came on, you should have been close enough to hear your mother, father's, grandmama, somebody's, granddaddy, uncle. Somebody was calling you, or some families had a whistle. And you would hear that sound and you would take off because you knew you were supposed to be at home. Hallelujah. Well, the world is a little different today. You know, the world is different because they don't hear the Father. They don't hear, they don't even hear you, mama. They don't even hear you, daddy. So what are you teaching them? Because if they have this word at home, your teachers can't teach it if they come to school angry. So we gotta work on our home situations and say, God, fix us at home. Hallelujah. This is not an easy walk. It's not as easy as just saying, I'm saved and I'm sanctified. I've been baptized in the pool. Have you been baptized with the Holy Spirit? Have you recognized the gift that God has given you and the anointing that goes with it? Are you still doing the same stuff? Are you still angry? He's hiding you in the pavilion in his secret place. I'll hide you. He set you upon the rock, the solid rock, the rejected rock, the cornerstone, which means that that's the rock, the church, the place of the word of God that I can renew in you and regenerate in you and heal you and deliver you and even enlighten you and give you some wisdom that you never had. And it will confound the mind of every enemy that you know, because the Spirit of God is a shield and a sword and it cuts asunder. While you don't understand it, just call on the name of Jesus. Let him fight all these battles that we're trying to fight. We need to keep praying that God shut down all these guns and drugs and this hateful spirit. It's not just the guns, it's the hateful spirit that's in the atmosphere that you see at the top of the government, the hatred that you see that people will bus people from one place to another without giving them even water and provisions to clean them up and to fix them up, to welcome them with a loving spirit. But you came here into America as an immigrant, and you can't receive somebody else. That ain't godly. I don't care what church you come from. That is not of God, because if you have a God spirit, the first thing you ought to do is welcome them home, because America, you're rich. America is rich in its glory of God shining upon us and giving us favor. Hallelujah. And that's why when you read scripture and you get to Revelation 17 and he's telling you what's going to happen to those people who have a hardened heart, he's going to telling you that the wrath of God, the cup of God and his wrath. See, the cup of God, when we talk about Jesus in the olive garden, hallelujah, the olive garden. And when he went in and he had the prayer, it's the second time he used to go to the olive garden quite a bit. But on this particular time, he gets in a place where he asked them to pray with him and they can't. But then he says, nevertheless, he goes to them and he says, nevertheless, God says to God the Father, nevertheless, let your will be done. He said, take this cup. What was the cup that Jesus wanted to give up? It was your sins. It was your ugliness. It was our unforgiveness. It was our evil. It was our selfish pride that we wanted to do it our whatever it is. God said, I turn that mind. Turn it around, America. Turn it around, because I've set you in my secret tabernacle. And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies around about me. See, when you're in the place of God, he'll comfort your mind. He'll hide you. He said, I sit you up on the rock. And then he said, now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies around about me. Therefore, I will offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I sing. I will sing praises unto God. Why am I singing praises? Why am I so excited? Why? Because I have seen the hand of God do miracles in my life. I knew, even when I didn't deserve it, I've seen God do things that only God can do. And I have to tell you, praise breaks the yoke. Praise breaks the chain. Praise opens up the avenue for you to begin to worship God, because he deserves all the worship, all the praise, all the honor goes to him. And when he says that I shall sell my your mind, he said, and now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies, all the problems around you. How do you know, Brother Seals? Well, in Psalms 23, I believe, he says, I sit you in the presence of your enemy and I prepare the table for you. I anointed your head. Woo! Your mind. Woo! Jesus. I lifted up your mind. I said, and so you can't even fathom what it means that he's spreading a table and your enemies are all around you. No weapon that's formed shall prosper. Amen. I told you earlier, said that you're going to bring home, you're going to be rejoicing when you come home with the sheaves. You're going to get blessings that you didn't work for. You're going to get blessings that just pour out into you. You're going to get land and property that God gives you. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. We have the victories, brothers and sisters in Christ. And we got to let the people of the world know they got to operate on God's schedule and God's purpose and God's plan. And then he says in verse 6, the second part of that 6b, therefore I will offer his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. So when you bring something to church to give your offering, do it with a joyful heart. If you're serving in the church, do it with a joyful heart. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. So wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen your heart. Amen. And so the psalm expresses in this text that this whole song represents a divine praise to God. Divine praise to God. Well, Brother Seals, why do you say that? Well, let's go back and look at Psalms 126. When the Lord, who's the Lord? God. What did he do? He fixed your problems. He hid you in the tabernacle. He gave you joy in spite of sorrow. He lifted you up so you can be laughing. I've been a place where I was crying out to God and the spirit of peace and love and joy came. I started weeping before the Lord because I knew that he was taking stuff off of me and delivered me, that there was a peacefulness and joy that comes upon us that we could just start laughing. And you don't know why you're laughing except for the Holy Ghost, that God is moving. And now you can see beyond, because when you're in the God's presence, you're not in this flesh. When you're sitting at a place with God and he's feeding you and talking to you, you're in your body, but there's the spirit, the inner spirit of the living God that dwells in you. He's communing with you. He's talking with you. He ain't talking to your natural mind about the world. He's talking to that inner spirit man. Hallelujah. That inner spirit woman to say, you can do it. You can hold on. You can press through. Don't go this way. I want you to turn right here today. I want you to know, don't go with this person. Go with this person. To trust and obey the leading of the Holy Spirit. But you got to learn to hear his voice. For his sheep know his voice. We are his sheep. But this psalm is to touch the heart and the heartbeat of who you are. David wrote these psalms, which were really for praising God. This was composed by David and other writers, but it was to bring love and adornment to God. It was to bring praise and worship. David was the first king that established prayer 24 hours a day all around the tabernacle, all around the place of worship, all around where they met to praise God and to bring their offerings. He did that. And he knew that if you praise God, if you spend time talking to God, thanking him for all that he's done. And so he turns the captivity. What does that mean? I turn the state of your mind, the period that you've been held in prison, enslaved in your thinking, and not being able to let go. The enslavement is not always just what somebody else is doing. Also, how you think. Were you unforgiving? That is not of God, people of God. It will kill you. It will destroy you. And so it takes the love of God to comfort your heart and to renew you. And he said, knock the dust from your heel. You don't have to let people abuse you. If you can get out of it, then get out of that situation. There's nothing about God that brings that you should live under tyranny, or that you need to live under somebody that's abusing you or your children. That is not of God. And so I rebuke that spirit, because you become subjective to it. You become imprisoned by that, by people who you don't need to be with, because people who love God don't do those kinds of things. Amen. So I'm trying to say to people today, you're free. You're free. And it begins with how you see by faith to believe.
Can you believe that God allows you to go through this so you can strengthen yourself and he'll break those chains, or he'll show you or put people around you to help you, send you resources and finances? They gave you things in your life and you've never understood how you made it. You've seen miracles manifested. You needed a breakthrough. You thought it was going to come this way and it came this way. You thought it was coming that way and it came up this way. You don't know how you're going to work it out, but I come to tell you, it's already worked out. Amen. But he says the servitude changed that. The story of David and Saul, and Saul sought to kill him. That's it. That's in the psalm that I was telling you. I think that's Psalms 126. Let me get there. I'll tell you, man. Hey, because I want to. Yeah, go to Psalms 126 real quick, because this is part of the story. That I want to, when the Lord turned the captivity, that's our psalm. I'm sorry, I gave the wrong one. First Samuel. I want you to go to First Samuel. And I want you to go down to about the fourth verse. David therefore sent spies out, because he understood that Saul was very near. He was coming. You know when the enemy coming. Sometimes they sneak up on you, but most of the time we know. If you spend time with God, you don't know everything, but he'll warn you. So David sent out spies, verse 4. David arose and came to the place where Saul had pitched, and David beheld the place where Saul lay. Abner, the son of Ner, the captain of his host, Saul laid in a trench, and the people pitched all around him. And then David said to Abimelech, the Hittite, and to Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, brother of Joab, saying, who will go down? It takes courage to serve God. There were 12 spies that went out, but 10 of them came back and corrupted the whole camp, turned the whole camp against God. You've seen all these miracles going on, and they denied God. They told Moses, no, Moses, we ain't going in the canyon. We ain't going to Canaan land. They got grapes and walls. We look like grasshoppers. Get that thought out of your mind. God did not make you or give you a mentality of a grasshopper. That is not of God. Hallelujah. And so in the teaching of the story, it goes on. He says that, so David and Abishai came to the people by night, and behold, Saul was sleeping and his spear stuck in the ground. In the ground at his holster or bolster. But Abner and the people lay around about him. Then Abishai says to David, God had delivered thine enemy into thine hand this day. Now, therefore, let me smite him. I could have killed him. Amen. But God says murder is a sin. And so this is an anointed man of God. This is beyond our thinking. And that's why you have to understand humility. Just because you have the power doesn't mean that you just use it and abuse it. And so David was mature enough to say, no, harm not the anointed one. Because he knew what God was doing. And he was being obedient because he was learning to serve God. And so listen to the story as it goes on. And this is what I mean by turning the captivity. This man, Saul, the king, sought to kill David because he was jealous. I want to say to the body of Christ, stop this hatred and jealousy of one another because they have something that you don't have. I had a sister, Evangelist Deloney, spoke to me today, and she gave me a word that she said, Brother Seals, no matter what your anointing is, it is for you. Hallelujah. And whatever anointing other people have is for them. Our job is not to try to be better than them, or is to recognize what they're able to do and embrace it. Because many people have gifts that you don't have, but we're all fitly together. If you cut off my thumb, my hand will not function like it should. If you cut off my toes, my legs and my feet, my walk is not going to be the same. If I lose a leg, then I can't go around the way that I would normally go around. If you lose every part of that individual in your life that God has put there in the church is for a reason.
people that enter your life, if they can't help you and understand you and love you for who you are, then turn the captivity of your mind, because you're free enough to say, I don't deserve that kind of treatment. So what did David tell him to do? He said, do not kill him. For the Lord forbid that I should stretch forth my hand against the Lord's anointed one. And for all of us who go to church, stop tearing the pastors down and pray and work with the pastors. And if you can't work that out, then go somewhere else, but don't tear the pastor down. Amen. Because you never know what God has for that pastor and for that church. That's not our place to criticize and turn down, because I got my own faults. I got my own issues. No man is perfect. No woman is perfect. So in this teaching tonight, I want you to understand, let go of jealousy. Let go of bitterness. David could have killed him because he could have had a bitter spirit. But when you know Jesus and you feel that bitterness coming on, you say, I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Oh, that look good, whatever you eat down there, that look good. This word is good, hallelujah. And so eat of the word, hallelujah. It'll lift your spirit up, amen. So David took the spear and the cruse of water from Saul's bolster and got away, and no man saw it. And so they escaped, and David went over to the other side and hollered out, Abner, Abner, Abner. And he answered, and he said, who art thou? And David said, Abner, art thou the valiant man? How did you allow me to get into the camp? See, God will set you up to be able to tear down the enemy's camp in just a smooth way of being able to be obedient and to go and do what God tells you to do. And God now anointed him to go get that sword and get that water and not kill him, but to say, I could have, but because of God, I didn't do it that way. That's the same David that killed Goliath and said, with me in the army of the Lord, how dare you come against the people of God, Goliath? And he took a stone and threw it and killed him. And went and got him. He took his own sword, took Goliath's sword and cut his head off. So here we have now the same man with all that power. You see, he was a little boy then. He was a sheep boy. He was smelling and stinking. Now he's serving God in the capacity of trying to help the kingdom of God. And when you're working for God, you got to obey and understand he will turn the captivity. To me, this story is an example of how that you are being sought after. And now you didn't wind up with the victory and letting your enemy know that I could have taken you out. I have forgiven you. What this teaches us is to have a forgiving spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Ghost. It teaches us to let go and let God direct your path and fight your battle while he hides you in the tabernacle of the Most High God. Amen. And so these are things that I want us to understand and grow to say, as it said in Isaiah 61:3, that Pastor pulled up. If you got it before, you could go back to it. If you read a little bit of that, because it reminds me that God will turn every situation around. And that scripture came to my mind. It wasn't on my sheet tonight, but I knew that it just popped in my mind. And I said it was a 61 or 63. And so if you go to Isaiah 63, and I'm in the King James Version, you got it, Pastor? I can't hear you. Hallelujah. If you got it, come on with it. It's all right.
61:3. Isaiah 61:3.
Could you read that for us, please?
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of prisons to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our Lord, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, oil for joy and mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness will be taken away from them. Amen.
My Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Pastor. Did you hear that? Did the Spirit of the Lord is upon you?
Amen.
If you know the Spirit of God is always present, Sister Kruger, Evangelist Kruger, he's always there. He never leaves. God is a God that will not fail you. He says,
because the Lord have anointed us to preach, to teach the gospel. Now, this is really for people who are called to be preachers, but we're all called to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Preaching doesn't mean standing up all the time and just, you know, giving exhortations or exegeting on the word or homiletics and all. No, that it's spreading the gospel. It's helping people to understand this word. Yes, there are teachers, there are apostles, there are pastors, there are evangelists, the fivefold ministry. But here we have, he's telling you to appoint them that are in mourning in Zion. What is Zion? Zion is a place of God, the city of the holy city of God. that's where you reside when you're sitting in his secret tabernacle. When you hide, when he says he hides you under the shadow of his wings. when you can't figure it out and it comforts your mind and dries your tears and you start laughing and you remember, thank you Lord, that'd have been for you. Ooh, if I went on in there, I might have got caught up with everybody else. That Amen. I know so many people who are no longer here because of the habits of their life. And if I had followed that path, my life wouldn't be where I am today. That's why we got to be careful about how we tear people down. Stop doing that. Lift them up. Lift them up. Let them know that God will take you the beauty and give you beauty for your ashes. What is ashes? Ashes when stuff has been burned up, when anger gets to the place where it destroys your natural way of thinking, and you can become so angry, you'll want to hurt somebody. That's why anger management of your temper, that's what's going on in the world. So you can step on somebody's foot and they'll shoot you today because there's an anger that has burning in them. Ashes represent something that had burned up. Amen. And so there's some burning going on in the world. It's a spirit that's killing people, that gives people so much anger. It ain't the fire of God. It's the enemy. He calls it the harlot. He calls it the woman that's on the beast. It is the sin. It is the rejected one, the devil himself that comes to kill, steal, and destroy. It is the snares and the traps that we find ourselves in. And so that they shall build, and he says, listen to this, and joy, oil of joy for your mourning. Hallelujah. What is that joy? The oil of joy is the Spirit of God that'll take you out of your mourning and give you a peace of mind that passeth all understanding and comfort you and bring peace. And you keep talking about Jesus, there'll be a peace around you. Hallelujah. The garment, I know when I stay in praise and worship, I start listening to Todd, brother Todd, what's his name? Deloney. Delandi, I can't think his name right now, but he sings out of Psalms 20 and Revelation 18. It's such a powerful worship that when you keep your mind stayed in that arena, and check this out, your natural flesh will get to the place where it says, that's enough. I don't want no more. But that's your flesh spirit. That's your natural mind. But the Holy Ghost, as you get in there, stay in there. It's a peacefulness. The pastor, I'm telling you, I've been so sick and down that you can just get it. I'm talking from experience. I'm not complaining. Your travails in this life allows you to give testimony of what God, hey, has done in my life. So don't get it twisted that I'm complaining. No, I'm one of these people that he took the oil of joy and gave it to me for my morning. He gave me a new spirit, a new mind. He said, I'm going to make you a new creature. The garment of praise, you don't see me walk around with no white robe on. It ain't that kind of thing that he talking about. You ain't going to be wearing no white robes in heaven. You a spirit. Ain't going to be no fleshly stuff going on in heaven. You a spirit. And when you get incarnated and you get to heaven, if you're blessed to go to heaven, and he says, your name is in the good book of life, and come on home, well done, my faithful servant, because you knew that in the midst of the storm, no matter what it worked out for the good or the bad in your natural mind, I welcome you home. I welcome you home because you've been a servant of mine, and you've been faithful to what I've given you. You've been faithful over a little, and so you didn't complain. You just kept on serving, and you didn't. If
Evangelist Cooper, you didn't give up. You keep fighting. You keep pressing. You keep working hard, even when you don't feel like it. It's just something about you that you can't stop it. Am I right about it, people of God? And they shall build old great places. This is the spirit of heaviness, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I got to close. That's why I'm trying. I knew that this was going to be too much for one another. This, maybe I'll do a lesson number three on this, because I wanted to get into a little bit more about the book of Revelation to show you how the captivity's already turned and he's already worked it out for your good. At the end of the Bible, he already telling you what's going to happen. He's telling you, if you live this kind of life that's so hateful and so mean and so bitter, with all your wealth, with all your riches, you're like the man that was with the Lazarus and he had the riches. And I wanted to get to that story where he says, can you dip your finger in some water and give me a little bit? He's like, I got five more people in my house. Could you tell them about God? Could you tell them about what's going on? And he said, but they wouldn't listen to Moses, so how are they going to believe in the risen dead? How you got to believe that Jesus arose and now sitteth at the right hand of God Almighty. You got to confess and believe that he's already working every situation out that he allows you to go through. And so if you keep on fortifying yourself of the presence of God, he says, I'll turn it around for your glory and give it to them beauty for their ashes, oil for joy in the morning, a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So you can have some heaviness going on and carrying all this pressure, but it ain't you carrying it no more. It's the Holy Ghost that's got you lifted up, and you trying to figure out where that power come from. Yeah, I tell you where it come from. It come from downside and the inside. It come from the Holy Ghost that lifts you up and says, you can do all things through Christ Jesus. That strength that I come to tell you that you serve an awesome God, that they might be called trees of righteousness. He looks at you as pillars of strength. He says, trees of righteousness. That means I have trusted you with my word, stewards of God, the people of God, ambassadors of God, children of God, candle of the Lord. You've got the wealth of God in you. And I want you to know he's already worked it out. He's already worked it out for the good. I'm going to close, because it's time. I could go another 50. I got 9 pages of scripture notes that back up how God turned the captivity. that he gives us scripture texts. I read several of them, and I'm just going to reference a couple more. I gave you the story about how God allowed David to be able to take all the hatred that Saul released on him and attacked him, but he wouldn't kill him. Hallelujah. God will take care of your enemies if you get out the way. Psalms 91, he that dwelleth in the secret place. That word is Psalm 91. I dwell in the secret place of the Most High God. Psalms 51:17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. God wants our hearts to be temperate, so that you hate sin, that you don't practice sin anymore, that you don't live in sin, that you're not ashamed to come to Jesus and bow down before him. You're not ashamed to cry out, God, help me. You're not ashamed of the gospel. And I told you about the story of rich man. That's Luke 16 and 31. And it goes all the way to verse 9 to 31, Luke 16, 9 and 31. But it tells you about that story. Be ye transformed. You have to be transformed to understand how you are no longer captive to the flesh, because you've been transformed. You bring yourself as a living sacrifice. He says, by the mercies of God, you present your body as a living sacrifice. But he said, I beseech you, I'm begging people of God, I'm asking you with all my heart to give your heart, your mind, your soul to Christ. By the mercies of God, present yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, because he turns. I try not to talk about what he's gonna do, because it's already done. He's already, because I believe so much in faith, it's already done.
it's already worked out for his good. I've seen too many miracles and experience and wait on the Lord and being encouraged, because sometimes it takes years. Sometimes it comes like that. Sometimes it's as you go. Sometimes it's immediate. But God is always in control. And if you listen to trust him, there's a reason, because people will see that faith walk. And they may never acknowledge you, but they see it. And that gives God the glory. Amen. James 5:13. Is any among you afflicted? This is what we're in right here. Any of you among you that's afflicted, let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing songs. Is any sick? If any sick among you, let him call on the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil. The anointing of oil is not just getting a bottle of oil, y'all. That ain't what you're talking about. Yes, it's an anointed oil. That oil, you can put the oil and get it blessed by the most powerful preachers and teachers and anointed men and women of God. But if you don't have it, that oil can't work. And if they don't believe, it ain't gonna work. Unless you believe, God will use you to break through if you believe. The unbeliever can't believe, but God can use you to break that stubbornness, that anger. God can put something in that comes out of your mouth that will touch somebody's heart. And the prayer of the faith shall save the sick. The Lord shall raise him up. If he committed any sin, they will be forgiven. Confess your faults one to the other. The effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. As we close for the last time, it's all about effectual, fervent prayer, because that's what turned the captivity of my mind. Captivity of your mind is when you can rebuke the spirit of jealousy, when you can rebuke the spirit of pride, like David did, who could have killed Saul so many times. But God was speaking to him, and he became one of the greatest kings in spite of his falls, in spite of his errors. Out of his lineage comes Jesus. So God can take your brokenness, fix you, fix your family. I decree healing, blessings, breakthroughs in your homes today. I decree the hand of God move and restore and renew and refresh and quicken your spirit. Have a spirit of Caleb, seniors, older folks, young folks. The spirit of Caleb, when he was 45, went up into Canaan and Hebron, and he and Joshua saw them great big giants and the Anakites, and them big old grapes. That's my alarm. Let me know I got a scripture reading, and I can't turn it off yet. Hold on a second. There you go. He uses us. Ask God for your blessing. He waited 40 years to go back and say, Lord, I want my blessing. And the Lord, the blessing wasn't, Pastor, it wasn't just for him. It was for his whole family, for the entire tribe. when God bless you, it's not just for you. And I want to close, because this sister on the line with us, every time I see her, I remember the favor of God on your life. Mm-hmm. I remember Sister Evangelist Krug. I call her my sister in Christ. But Pastor Chisholm, I remember the outpouring of love from her and her husband. And it was a love that only God, the wisdom that they imparted into me is to don't quit. Don't quit. Just come. We'll come get you, but don't quit. Don't give up. We know you don't feel well, I'm telling you what God put people, I never knew that. Her husband was not of the same color as me. And he treated me with such respect and love of God that some folks who look like me couldn't do that. So stop, what the Lord taught me, stop looking at the color, stop looking for sounds, look at the heart, feel my spirit. Feel the Spirit of God all around you. That the anointing on your life would tear down the hand of the enemy in such a way that the enemy will come after you and they have to turn around and go the other way, or they turn on each other, but none shall come nigh thee. Don't mean you don't have no pressure. It just means that I've turned. God has turned your situation. It's already turned. He ain't, stop saying he gonna. Talk as if you're already there, because he's the Alpha and Omega, so the end is already there. Everything that we're experiencing is written in heaven. It's written into the plan that God has with the angels of God, and he reveals it to certain people that commune with him more and more, and that could be you and I. Spend more time with him.
Hallelujah.
Spend more time. Something happened to me coming out of this surgery. Something happened to me to let me know that the only God can deliver you to be able to do. I was outside painting my back porch today.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And early, I had these moments, brothers and sisters, where the nerve system in my body has been so compressed for so long that now I'm experiencing, Pastor Chisholm and the evangelist, I experience this electrical shock in my body. Be like, ooh, what is that? What is that? And the more I sit, the more frustrated I get. So I went out there and got that paintbrush and started. and I said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you said I'm healed. You said I'm delivered. Give me strength. And then, ooh, come on. My wife, Sweet said, you did all the railing. I didn't do the bottom rail, but I did all the tops. That's God.
Amen.
That's the Holy Spirit. He ain't through with us.
Hallelujah.
Got more, much more. The smile on my face ain't just a smile in my face. It's down in my heart. I love you all. I thank you for being on. Thank you. I don't know how to work Facebook and do this at the same time and see who's, I can't do all that. I just stay focused on this word. I'm reading my lesson both from the computer and from, I don't have no speech monitor. This is just God saying, teach my word. So I'm asking God for some specific things. And Father, I'm going to ask my good friend, Pastor John Chisholm, to close us out. And I'm going to first ask the evangelist, Jeanette Kruger, and you don't see co-pastor Chisholm on the line with us, but she's there. She's there live, but she does. Sometimes you got to pull away. But thank you to be an eardrop. Thank you for the word. Hallelujah. And I praise God. God continue to bless. Gift from God ministry. God bless Evangelist Kruger. Evangelist Kruger, before Pastor closes out, you have any comments?
I just like to say I'm glad to be a part of this teaching tonight. And anytime I can get a word from the Lord is wonderful, a blessing to my life. It adds more credence to my life. It's the reason why I'm still here. Oh, I'll be 80 this month, and I'm just tickled pink that God let me stay here that long. He let me stay here that long.
No, I can't
believe I'm going to be 80, but God blessed me to stay here, and I'm just grateful. And always my son, I feel like you are my son. I say, well, I have to be on there because you're such a great teacher. I enjoy you so much. God bless your heart and continue on teaching. I said, if I could teach like you and your wife, I'd be all right.
you are all right.
God gave me a gift of storytelling, so I use that. And I'm trying to write a book about how God has brought me from A to B to Z.
Amen.
And whatever he wanted me to write this book, and I've been trying to for a long time, but my time is shorter in front of me than all the time I have been here on the earth. So I got to move in a little more faster pace, and thank God for the blessing that he already bestowed upon my life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus' name.
Glad to be with you. Glad to be in the service.
Glad that you're here. Thank you so very much. God bless you and your family. And may God continue to answer your prayers. Go, Pastor and Pastor Chisholm.
Praise the Lord. Evangelist Kruger, I'm doing like this because my screen must be out of focus and something. 80 years old? No, don't 80. Even try that. You don't even try it. I mean, no way. I mean,
Praise the Lord.
So you're giving me something to look forward to. I tell you.
Yes.
Again, God can do it. Amen.
Anything,
so bless you.
But fail.
Amen. Keep on keeping on. Whatever you're doing, keep doing it.
Amen.
And then, as you mentioned, tell stories about it, write about it, let people know.
Yeah.
Because you got the formula. Hallelujah. But people need to get that. Amen. I'm serious about that. Amen. So share it. Amen.
Everybody looking. Let's say hallelujah.
I mean, praise the Lord.
That's what, Pastor, that's what.
Can't stop praising him.
That's what praise does.
Amen.
you don't look like your testimony. So I'm happy
God.
While you was waiting on the Lord.
Hallelujah.
While he turned your captivity, so he was doing something in your blood to make you look
Amen.
Like
I give glory to God. God gives glory.
God.
I can't believe it myself.
I thank God for him showing us what he can do.
Amen.
And it's nothing too hard for God, so we bless you.
A living witness of how God turns the captivity of our mind. Because if you knew her story and all that, where she come from,
Hallelujah.
What she went through and has gone through
Hallelujah.
And going through, Hallelujah. But yet she has the victory.
Amen.
Because she has a God.
Hallelujah.
She's Hallelujah. A witness.
That's
what you not want to witness in a book to leave for my family, not only for them, but to other people that know when they give up, they can't give up. They got to keep on going. Hallelujah. God made a way. God Hallelujah. Always make a way, and he never left me alone. I always could hear him. Whether I obeyed the voice or not, I always cannot say he never failed me. The trouble I got in was the trouble that I just didn't listen and obey.
Say that.
But once I got sense enough to listen, I've been coming on ever since. Praise his name.
Amen.
And that's what he does. Because he's a loving God. He ain't like us. He forgives.
Uh-uh. He's a forgiving God. He's a forgiving God.
Evangelist Kruger, my wife is a storyteller also. So she's being inspired by hearing your voice. And
Thank you.
Before we get off, I'm going to take a picture so she can see this and see what God is doing so we can all be looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to 80 now. Amen.
Amen.
I'm ready. I'm getting ready
Amen.
Now.
I got 8 more years, man.
Amen. I'm fine.
I said, oh, really?
Hallelujah.
Oh, man. I'm all right.
I thought you knew that, Brother Anton. I thought you knew.
Oh.
Well, I've been telling everybody. I'm 80, y'all. I can't believe I'm 80.
Not the way.
The devil didn't want me to stay here. He tried to kill me 1,000 times, but I'm still here. Amen. By his grace and his mercy.
We're praising God.
And John, I want to bless you for the message tonight. And God turned the captivity of Zion from ashes to beauty. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And from tears to joy. I mean, God can do that. This is important because, like you said, a lot of people are going through some stuff right now.
Yeah.
We need to give them a word of encouragement that, you know, we may do it for a night, but joy is coming in the morning, and God
Hallelujah.
Can turn that thing. We need to say that wherever we go. God can turn that thing, and you just need to have the faith of a mustard seed and be obedient.
Yes.
Sister Kruger, you've been obedient. That's what the God has done for you, let you know what obedience can do. And through your obedience, you're a living testimony. Anti-seals, you're a living test of being obedient. got to teach that to our people. They got to follow what God tells them to do. It not may make sense to them, but God, he's omniscient. So he knows what to do, how to do it, when to do it. So let's just do what God tells us to do. But I'm blessed tonight because the three of us, verse, and also Facebook and my wife, the Lord is happy. It says two or three guys together, my name was touching the green. God is in the midst of this. So Evangelist Anton, as always, you fired up for the Lord and ain't ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so I'm fired up too. So I thank you, my brother. Keep on keeping on. I send my love to Jennifer. I send my love worldwide. God turned that thing. If you be obedient, he will turn it for your good in Jesus' name. God bless you.
Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Faithful God. He's so faithful. And I'm just blessed that God has given us favor to do what we do, to be on this podcast.
Co-pastor told me to tell you that she was blessed by your message and she's inspired by your message also. So like you said, she's fired up by your message. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
And to all of you,
you can see the joy of the Lord is your strength.
Amen.
Yes, we do have. God is faithful to his word. And I close with that as I'm looking for something. And I ask for your help, your support, your prayers, especially your prayers. I'm venturing to do something new starting this month. I'm also planning to go back to teaching. But we're also planning to have another day for the tabernacle, another day to praise God, to worship him, adore him. The day would be on a Wednesday. And so we're already lining up some people from Ghana and Uganda and some other places. We ask you to keep us in prayer because someone asked me, well, what's the purpose of this? And I said, to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ across the world.
Hallelujah.
And connect with people. If there's so much craziness going on in the world, I just hear God saying to all of us, spend more time, use this technology to let the voice of God be heard. And the Spirit of God. This is a way to evangelize. This is a way of teaching, spreading the gospel, encouraging, building up, edifying. We can't always be together. But to have this opportunity is more than just sitting here for me to teach. It's also opening up avenues for other people to share and teach what thus saith the Lord. So if you want to help us, you can help us by being a part of this. You can write us at AJS Ministry Prayerline at gmail.com. You can sow a seed into our ministry at Cash App, $AJS, AJSMLAS. That's Anton Jennifer Seals Ministry, Lawrence Anton Seals. That's my first name. That goes into AJS Ministry. We have a PayPal, and we also have Zelle. You can Zelle us at AJSMPrayerline@gmail.com. And we thank you. If you'd like to be a part of helping us identify speakers from across the world, if you're hearing this, call me at 773-234-3108. 773-234-3108. And visit our website at ajsministry.net, ajsministry.net. Pray for us. Pray that we get the help to be able to create videos for announcing our guests and little short video clips of things that we're doing. But AJS Ministry, the Tabernacle of Worship International, that's what's on this flyer. And so when you see the flyer every week on Facebook, we're not trying to do anything. We are spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are a praying, teaching ministry, and we welcome other Christians who have that same desire to be in the presence of God. And I thank you. God bless you all. Pastor St. John, close us out. God bless you to all of you. God bless you, co-pastor. You all rest well. Get a sweet rest. Amen.
Let's pray.
Well, I heard it.
Father, we thank you now for this podcast in which your word is going forth with power, authority, and dominion. The word that will set us free, that will turn us into the Christians you desire for us to be. I pray anointing continue Evangelist Anton Seals, his wife Jennifer, and Evangelist Kruger. Lord God, I pray on my wife, I pray that you will strengthen us, that we will know it's the word that the world needs to hear to turn back to you. It's a turning atmosphere right now. We thank you for this message. As we go forth, we see the world turning back to you. And then you will be able to turn us into what you desire for us to be. So we thank you, Lord, that we're going forth with power, authority, and dominion to lift that Savior up. Thank you right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Also, Anton, I wanted to give you this. It's going now. Ty Tribbett, he has a song called He Turned It. Ty Tribbett, he has a song called He Turned It. And that's right in line with what you taught today. So I want you to listen to that song. He Turned It. So listen to that song and be blessed. Amen. Ty Tribbett. And
that was Ty who?
Tribbett. I think it's Tribbett.
Tribbett.
Yeah. He Turned It. So listen to that. Listen to that. It'll just put all this together. Amen. Amen. God bless. God bless.
Thank you. Love you. Love you all. Love you. Blood of Jesus. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. God bless you.
God bless you.
Signing on.
All right.
All right.